Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, yesterday, three major events converged. Hurricane Maria, Cat 5, a catastrophic 5 hurricane, and the devastation that has just occurred in Puerto Rico. There was also a 7.1 earthquake in Mexico City. The dead are still being uncovered. And then there was President Trump's warning to the world. Ladies and gentlemen, each week since August the 21st, we've seen records broken. History has been made, and it seems that each week the tempo and the magnitude increases. We've said it from that day, that eclipse that day that the sun was there, was that it set in motion something that has to do with, ladies and gentlemen, we believe it's not global warming and it's not coincidence. We really believe that if the American people won't willingly humble themselves in the sight of God, God will humble this nation. And we're running out of time. So today, we're going to examine some key points of one of those major events, and that was President Trump's historic speech to the, put it this way, the kings of the world at the UN, and focus on just a few of the things he said and what will likely be the response to them. We're going to do that in just a minute, but I'm going to, if I could, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to interject right here a special need that I want to put before all of you who are listeners to this program. We talk a lot about what God is doing across the world, and he is. We're going to talk about some of those things today. We don't talk as much oftentimes about what God is doing with the American Pastors Network and the impact of Stand in the Gap Today and the radio programs, but he is. And I do not have time to go into all the detail right now, but let me encourage you by saying God is doing tremendous things, things bigger than you can imagine, and he has placed this program and this ministry right smack in the heart of it, not just in this country, but even around the world. And can I put before you, ladies and gentlemen, a special need? This is a special need that happens to have a financial piece tied to it, but there is an opportunity, there are opportunities and needs before us that we want to lay before you that perhaps you can participate with us. I ask you to consider right now, $25,000 need by the end of September. We'll explain more about that later, but let me suffice to say, we need you and we need to relay it to you. I'm wanting you to do that. Go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, and you can partner with us, invest in God's movement here through the American Pastors Network and this radio program to whatever level you can do so. We need it now. September 30th is the date. We'll talk more about this a little bit later. But if you do not have access to your computer, but you can write down an address, you take and make out your check to American Pastors Network. The address is 83 West Main Street, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. American Pastors Network, 83 West Main Street, Elverson, E-L-V-E-R-S-O-N, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. We'll tell you more about this, but please consider being a part in investing and being a part of what God is doing. We'll talk to you more about this a little bit later. But let me go on here if I can. Segments 3 and 4, we're going to go to Israel, discuss major events that are unfolding there, as well as in the U.S., and big things are happening. We're going to talk about that. Stay with us, if you could, this entire hour as we consider major things. And with that, I'm going to welcome you to the program today. I'm Sam Rohr. I'm going to be joined by Dave Kistler and Gary Dahl, and special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. Now, men, yesterday, the president's speech was magnificent. Some hated it. Many folks, like John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador, said it was perhaps the finest speech ever delivered by an American president. And he called out evil. He laid down the gauntlet. And if I can, man, I want to take and play just a minute and a half of this clip. I want to come back and ask you your input on part of that. So, if, Russ, if you could play a short clip of what the president said yesterday at the United Nations.
Question for the United Nations today, for people all over the world who hope for better lives for themselves and their children, is a basic one. Are we still patriots? Do we love our nations enough to protect their sovereignty and to take ownership of their futures. Do we revere them enough to defend their interests, preserve their cultures, and ensure a peaceful world for their citizens? One of the greatest American patriots, John Adams, wrote that the American Revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people. That was the moment when America awoke, when we looked around and understood that we were a nation. We realized who we were, what we valued, and what we would give our lives to defend. From its very first moments, the American story is the story of what is possible when people take ownership of their future. The United States of America has been among the greatest forces for good in the history of the world, and the greatest defenders of sovereignty, security, and prosperity for all. Now we are calling for a great reawakening of nations, for the revival of their spirits, their pride, their people, and their patriotism. History is asking us whether we are up to the task. Our answer will be a renewal of will, a rediscovery of resolve, and a rebirth of devotion. We need to defeat the enemies of humanity and unlock the potential of life itself.
Ben, the president identified, I think, three audiences. He spoke to those who want world government and open borders. He spoke to those who do not want open borders and world government. And he spoke to the enemies that he identified. We only have just a few seconds for each one. Dave, I want to go to you. How do you think the UN elite who he identified there are going to respond to what he said?
Well, Sam, they're already responding, and they're calling it terrifying and delusional. The fact that he used the word sovereignty 18 times, and then perhaps encapsulating it the best was Swedish Foreign Minister Margot Wallström, who said this, quote, "It was the wrong speech at the wrong time to the wrong audience," which means this, it was the right speech at the right time to the very people who needed to hear it.
Gary, in 20 seconds, how do you think the nations who oppose the New World Order and in favor of sovereignty, how do you think they're responding to this speech?
Well, he spoke on national sovereignty and patriotism, which all leaders should like. But when you take and look at the globalists, I don't think that they liked it at all. They diminished it. It was Hillary Clinton who said, "I would never have given a speech like that to the United Nations."
Well,
so
Gary, that was the one time she told the truth. She never would have done it. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and I'm going to pose to him the question as we start out the next segment, and that is, how do you think the enemies that were identified by the president, he named them by name, how are they going to respond to that speech as we pick up this next segment where we're going to talk about this theme, the response to the warning? What's it going to be? Well, I can tell you what, we may not know exactly, but time will tell, but we may guess pretty accurately. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th, through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, in this segment, we're going to welcome in right off Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. He's with us regularly on this program, and he is host of Prophecy Today. Jimmy, thanks for being with us today.
My joy, always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Well, Jimmy, I want to go back and ask you the third question that we started in the other segment. I asked Dave what he thought the response would be from the UN elite who are pushing hard for one world government would respond to the president's speech, and he made it very, very clear. They're already lambasting it. I asked Gary, the other audience that was really there, nuts of the nations and the people who love sovereignty, and Gary said they ought to be happy about it. But I asked the other audience, and that the president identified enemy nations. Now, I'm going to play another clip in just a minute, so I don't want you to go into that, but I just want you to ask in a general sense, very briefly, how do you think the enemies and the villains, as the president called them, who listened to that speech yesterday, are going to respond?
Sam, I'm an amateur herpetologist, meaning I study reptiles. I've traveled the Everglades gathering snakes. And I had, at one time, 55 rattlesnakes. I could put them on the ground. I could walk around the room. They wouldn't bother me. But boy, if I backed them in a corner, they would come out attacking. I believe that is a perfect illustration of what these leaders of these rogue nations are going to do. They've already been warning the world, you mess with us, we're going to wipe you out. Who said that? North Korea's leader, Iran's leader, and we could go on down the list. Not one of these men are ready to buckle up to Donald Trump. They believe he's a novice. They think they're the experts. I want to tell you something. They're in the process of arming their nations.
All right, and hold that right now, Jimmy. Hold that right now, because I want to play a short piece from what the president said yesterday, where he went after some of these people, and then we're going to come back and let you build out what you're talking about. So, Russ, if you could just play the short clip, please.
We must uphold respect for law, respect for borders, and respect for culture, and the peaceful engagement these allow. And just as the founders of this body intended, we must work together and confront together those who threaten us with chaos, turmoil, and terror. The scourge of our planet today is a small group of rogue regimes that violate every principle on which the United Nations is based. They respect neither their own citizens nor the sovereign rights of their countries. If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph. When decent people and nations become bystanders to history, the forces of destruction only gather power and strength. No one has shown more contempt for other nations and for the well-being of their own people than the depraved regime in North Korea.
The depraved regime in North Korea. Rocket Man Kim was exactly what the president said, and he called out Iran as well. Jimmy, just first off, before Dave and Gary pose some questions to you, but he did call out specifically Hezbollah, he called out Iran, he called out North Korea, he actually called out Cuba. In that. Now, build out just a little bit how you think Iran and North Korea in particular are responding to what the president said, because he put them right on the line.
Well, I did not write the president's speech, but boy, it sounds just like what I was saying before you went to the clip there. As it relates to Iran, they will reject what the United States is dictating to. Even they are right now preparing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. They're not paying attention to President Trump or the warning. They did not destroy, by the way, that major nuclear facility. And they can put everything in place within 5 days to come up with that nuclear weapon of mass destruction. They have a political ideology that drives them. But because of their Islamic faith and their eschatology, they are not going to buckle under what Donald Trump says. They're going to only intensify what they're doing.
Dr. Jimmy, let me ask you this. Have you ever, because you have monitored things like in the United Nations, you've lived in Israel, have you ever heard an American president deliver any kind of speech remotely close to what President Trump did yesterday? And then I'd love to get your take on the response. It was a very brief section of footage where the cameras went to Benjamin Netanyahu while the president was speaking specifically with respect to Israel, and you could tell he was loving what President Trump was saying. So I'd love to have your comments on both of those things.
Well, you know, that's the best commentary, Dave, on what I would have to say about President Trump's speech. In fact, along with John Bolton, who was a former ambassador to the United Nations, I believe the major people that understand the whole geopolitical situation in our world today have to stand and applaud the president in his speech, and in particular, as you brought to our attention, Prime Minister Netanyahu. Before Netanyahu got up, the president laid the land out, and then Netanyahu got up and said, hey, I agree with him. This is what we need to do. We're ready to go. Come join us, United States of America. They'd already had some meetings on the sideline there at the United Nations. I think it's probably a warning to the world, they'd better wake up, because the United States and Israel together are ready to go at it.
You know, Jimmy, I think that President Trump really went to the heart of the spread of chaos in the world today. And of course, as I said earlier, Hillary Clinton said she would never give a speech like that. And John Kerry basically called it childish, which really shows us from whence they come. But, you know, Iran and North Korea really are at the center of the chaos in the world today. Trump also tied in with that Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, and other radical Islamists. And my question to you is, how do you believe that Iran will respond to both the United States and Israel, as both are regularly being threatened for extinction by the Islamic ideology that's led by Iran?
Less than 24 hours ago, Gary, the chief of the military in Iran said, we're going to turn Tel Aviv and Haifa to dust. And the Ayatollah re-echoed his statement, we can wipe the state of Israel off the earth in about 9 minutes. Now, that is the response they're going to give. Listen, the Israeli Defense Force is holding its largest exercise in 20 years at the northern border there in Lebanon, where Hezbollah is a major threat. They're the fifth largest arsenal in the world. They're ready to come in. They're ready to do what needs to be done. They're the surrogate terrorist organization for Iran. This should speak volumes. The Israeli Defense Force is really set and ready. I've got to tell you that, indeed, a Patriot missile was fired yesterday. Yesterday, I'm talking about, over Kenetra, that city we've talked about, an unoccupied city, but now it's being filled up with the terrorists who want to enter in Jerusalem. It's about 5 miles from the northern border. And they used a Patriot missile to shoot a Hezbollah drone out of the heavens at that time. The Israeli Defense Force is ready, and they're ready to do a preemptive strike should that be called for.
Well, Jimmy, you set that up perfectly, because that's where I wanted to go next, because in the next segment, we're going to walk into Israel in this special time in their calendar. But let's go right there to what you're talking about. And that is this, a preemptive strike. We've talked about it a lot on this program. And do you believe that perhaps the president laying down the gauntlet as he did yesterday, which, in my opinion, is exactly what needs to be done. But on the other hand, it does seem to galvanize the sides. And as you say, if Iran and its league and North Korea and all that are likely not to be intimidated by this, that means that they are going to be more strengthened. So that makes a preemptive strike by Israel perhaps even more likely. What do you think about that?
Well, like backing that rattlesnake into a corner, they're going to have to strike out. They had been backed in the corner by two world leaders who understand what's happening. I'm talking about President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. By the way, that's the big Satan and the little Satan that Iran wants to go after. And so they are only going to intensify their preparation. And I must tell you, it's beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Israeli Defense Force is ready to do a preemptive strike. Remember during the times of President Obama, Netanyahu was asked, would you do a preemptive strike without the United States? He said, this is a matter of life and death for us. If we need to do that preemptive strike, we will do it. But now he's got a partner in the United States. So the Israeli Defense Force is ready to strike when the intel of Israel gives the prime minister, and the prime minister told me this himself, when they get the word from intel that there's a warhead going on a rocket to come towards Israel, they're going to go after him.
Well, that's interesting, Jimmy, because I think we may be closer to the time, as you say, than not. Now, in this next segment, ladies and gentlemen, we are, in fact, going to walk into the whole aspect of this very special season in the Jewish calendar that we're now in. And tonight, Jimmy, is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, is it not?
That is correct. And in fact, technically, in Israel, Rosh Hashanah, the new year, is underway.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, something very, very important traditionally, historically, in the minds of Israel and the Jewish people began actually before we got on this program. And that is going to be happening. So when we come back here now in just a few moments, we're going to talk about these things. We're going to talk about Israel. We're going to talk about Rosh Hashanah, days of great expectation that are happening, and all of this preparation we're talking about with the building up of the forces in Iran and Hezbollah. How does that fit together with all of this? And we're going to have Jimmy, when we come back, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, lay out for us the parameter here, these days of repentance in which we're in, 40 days, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur that's coming up, and how these pieces should be viewed biblically, and how perhaps they can be fitting together into what we are watching real time, internationally and historically. Stay with us, and we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are glad that you're with us today at this really exciting time in history. And on this program in particular, Stand in the Gap Today, we are so thankful for all of you, all of the tens of thousands of you are listening across the country. No matter where we go, people come up and say, thank you for standing the gap today. Thank you for what you're saying. Thank you for telling the truth. Thank you for the good guests. All of those things. That means a great deal to us. But as I said at the beginning of the program, ladies and gentlemen, with the ability or to stand as God has provided, the ability to do what he's called us to do, this program being one part of it, he has also opened up many, many new doors and challenges. And we need your help. I pray that you, as you listen to us, you pray for us. Invest in us, not just in your prayers, but also in your finances. And we have some very specific needs before us that are coming up here by the end of the month, and we'll talk more about that later in other programs, but we need your help now. If you've been blessed by this program, if you've been encouraged by the truth, if you've been encouraged in your walk with the Lord, can I ask you to very seriously consider right now what you can do to help us in this very immediate opportunity need that is before us? Go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, and partner with us. Invest in the kingdom with us right now as the Lord is actively at work, and we're a part of it, and you can be a part of that. Or if you want to put something in the mail, you don't have an internet, and because some of you are listening, don't. Just jot this down, American Pastors Network. Then you can send your note and you can send your gift to American Pastors Network, 83 West Main Street, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. And I pray that God will touch your hearts, perhaps, and he is. Respond immediately. I think sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit moves and we put it off. And sometimes we lose great blessings because we put it off. If you feel any movement in your heart at all, act upon it immediately if you can. All right, well, I'm going to come back in right now with our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. As I said before the program, today, actually before we began this program here, which began at noon Eastern time, a very special day on the Jewish calendar began. It is Rosh Hashanah. And we're in the middle of a 40-day time of repentance in Israel as they observe it. And it leads up to Yom Kippur here at the end of the month, beginning of October. A very, very special time. Jimmy, I would like you, as the host of Prophecy Today and a regular guest on Stand in the Gap Today, you and I, us in our two ministries, are great friends of Israel because we know that God's plan for our nation, for His nation, for actually for all nations, ultimately revolve around God's plan of redemption in and through His people, Israel. I don't think we can get enough of this kind of instruction. If you could, just paint a little bit of a picture for us of the special season in which we are now entering, have just now entered, on the Jewish calendar, this last month of the Jewish calendar year. Put together some of these pieces and why this is so important and perhaps how it could fit into the events that we're seeing perhaps unfolding as we observe history and what's happening around the world.
Well, Sam, first of all, let me say Shana Tova. That in Hebrew says Happy New Year. So that's our greeting for the couple of days following the New Year, which has just begun in Israel, which, of course, marks the beginning of all Jewish holy days. The state of Israel is the center focus of all of that. Shana Tova means Happy New Year because Rosh Hashanah means the first of the year, Rosh meaning the chief or the front or the first of the year. It's 5778. And let me explain what that means. The Jewish people believe that 5,778 years ago, God brought everything into existence. Genesis chapter 1, He created the heavens, the earth, and all that is in them within 6 days. Book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. Now, how do they celebrate Rosh Hashanah? Well, the first thing they do, the men pick up their trumpets, they pick up their shofars, they go to the Western Wall, and only to the Western Wall because they're not able to get up onto the Temple Mount. They go there, and they celebrate Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the new year by blowing their shofars. I've seen as many as 10,000 men with shofars and trumpets there. What they are celebrating and why they're doing it at that spot is because every Jewish scholar believes that the Temple Mount, the stone under that stone building, is the center of the Garden of Eden. They believe that's where God created it all. So they go to celebrate what happened 5,778 years ago. Now, it's a terrible time for those people on a diet because it's a two-day celebration. I want to make sure they don't miss any of it. And it is a festive time. All they do is eat, eat, and then eat again. And one of the things they enjoy eating, they cut up the apple. They take real wonderful honey that's made in Israel. They stick the apple in the honey. They eat the honey-covered apple. And they say, may your year be as sweet as this honey-covered apple. It's a wonderful time. Rosh Hashanah started just moments ago there in Israel. But in addition, Sam, and we talked about the men going to the Western Wall to blow the shofars, today also begins the three fall feasts. There's trumpets, Yom Kippur, as you mentioned, and the Feast of Tabernacles, all within the next 15 days. This is the first month, and this is the month of Tishri, when they have Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, on the first day, on the 10th day, Yom Kippur, on the 15th day of the month, they'll have this next feast, which is Tabernacles. So it's a wonderful time. It's a festive time. It talks about how the Lord has given the Jewish people in Leviticus 23 these feasts to point to the person, the Messiah of Jesus Christ. And maybe I'll come back to that in a moment. It's just a marvelous time. The best way to try to relate the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to your Jewish friend is go and wish him. Rosh Hashanah. Send them a Happy New Year's card. It'll be a great time in order to witness to your Jewish friend.
Dr. Jimmy, you have painted a picture that has made Sam Gary and I very hungry when you were describing those apples. And
amen, brother.
you can paint a picture, my friend, in a great way. Obviously, this period of time is always and has been very significant for the nation of Israel. But can you speak to how this particular time period is impactful with respect to the settlements there, the Palestinian conflict, and even Iran?
Well, let's think about Iran first. Remember, Iran is the number one threat to Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu, in his United Nations speech, doubled down on what President Trump had to say. And, of course, Netanyahu has been warning from the very outset, even before the Iranian nuclear deal was put in place, in the face of President Obama. He warned against this whole situation. He knew that Iran was not going to go away. They cannot, Israel cannot allow Iranian nukes. 24 hours ago, the Iranian military chief, as I said, let me remind you, said that they're going to turn Tel Aviv and Haifa, that's only Mediterranean coast of it, they're going to turn them into dust. So they cannot allow them to have nuclear weapons. They, what Netanyahu said I thought was great, either fix it or nix it. The Iranian nuclear deal must be dealt with, and that's what not only Netanyahu but President Trump said. As it relates to the settlements, there are about 750,000 Jews, and they're quickly moving to almost a million Jews who are going to be living in the Jewish settlements or their communities in Judea and Samaria. These people in 67, under the tutelage of then the Minister of Housing, Ariel Sharon, went in to become the first line of defense. Many people say the settlements, they're really the hindrance to peace. That's not true. They're the first line of defense to protect the Jewish state of Israel. They're a major political force. They will not allow for evacuation. They saw what happened when they evacuated the settlements there in the Gaza Strip. They're not going to allow that to be repeated. And so you, oh, by the way, the Palestinians, you mentioned them as well. The Palestinians have just announced, and it was Hamas who called for this. This was very important to remember. There are two factions in the Palestinian peoples in Israel. You have Hamas, which is in the Gaza Strip, and Fatah, which is in Ramallah, in the middle part of the state of Israel. Well, they have just gone to unity talks. And it was very interesting for me to note that Prime Minister Netanyahu met and spoke with President Assisi of Egypt, because Egypt is spearheading the conversation between Hamas and Fatah. Both of these factions do not recognize Israel's right to be a state. Both of them believe violence is the way to their victory. And so as we look at Iran, the settlements, and the Palestinians in this next year, 57-78 on the Jewish calendar, looks like it's going to continue to be tough.
Well, Jimmy, as we consider what you're talking about, has conflict with Israel been at all more prevailing in this period of time? Just talk about that. Is a potential conflict in this period of time a greater possibility as we look back at history in Israel?
Well, as you look back at history, there's a 4,000-year history, Sam, back to the time of Abraham, when he actually came in to a city that is a modern-day city in Israel, which is Hebron, located just out of the city of Jerusalem, second most important historic site for the Jewish people, burial site for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they've been, from the very outset, been fighting, keeping the Lord as their Savior, not meaning salvation, but keeping the Jewish people alive. It's going to continue on until they turn to Christ and he comes back as their Messiah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Rosh Hashanah, we call it Days of Great Expectation. It's all about them looking for the Messiah. We know the Messiah has come. But when we come back, we're going to talk about historically when the disciples were still around and Jesus was there, they thought it was the end days. Well, we think it's the end days now. We're going to talk to Jimmy and Dave and Gary about why the end days may actually be more now than then.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, the coming together of so many events around the world as it relates to Scripture is nothing short of astounding. And there is, in my opinion, a convergence of events, both speed and magnitude from that perspective, coming together like I've never seen before. But on the other hand, other people perhaps thought that in the past. Now, in this Solution and Good News segment, I want to take and lay out the timeline again for what the Bible says will be occurring next. As we say in the program, the news of the day cannot be accurately interpreted until you've got the Bible in one hand. And that's how we're looking at it here today, because so many of these things, ladies and gentlemen, we have to simply be looking up and saying, wow, we are in exciting days, and perhaps those days where the return of the Lord is very close at hand. I want to go to Jimmy first. Jimmy, you go back to Matthew 24. The disciples, when Christ were here, they went to Christ and said, what are the markers of the end days? And he laid out things to them. They actually thought it was going to be then. Well, down through history in these last 2,000 years, Christians throughout the ages have really thought on many occasions that the return of the Lord was right at hand. Well, we know that that hasn't happened. Well, now we see a lot of things happening here. So I just want to ask you a simple question. From your perspective, give just a few practical reasons why the reality of the end days, as Christ was saying, is perhaps far more closer at hand now than it was when he talked to the disciples. I mean, obviously 2,000 years, but lay down a few more markers for us.
Well, Sam, you gave the first one. The disciples were listening to what Jesus said there in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, and they believed what he said, and their actions prove that. After he left, Acts chapter 1, it tells us in Acts chapter 17, these same men who heard the Olivet Discourse, believing that Christ was coming at any time, and very soon at that time, 2,000 years ago, they went out and turned the world upside down. That is so practical. Now, our world is already upside down. We need to be turning it right side up. That would be the best thing to do. But they did that. Very interesting, though, you mentioned Matthew 24. Verse 31 says that Jesus, after he had returned to the earth, told the angel, take the trumpet, blow the trumpet, and call a solemn assembly. That is what is done today on the Feast of Trumpets, the return, and I believe the return of Jesus Christ. Remember, in the first three Jewish feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, and the time of first fruits, Jesus Christ crucified on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, resurrected on first fruits, so the same thing must happen in the proper day sequence for the fall feast. Jesus Christ will come back, not the rapture, the second coming, on Feast of Trumpets, Matthew 24:31. And then remember what Peter said in the Mount of Transfiguration. There was Jesus in his kingdom, which he said they would see before they died. And what did Peter say? Hey, let's put up three tabernacles. Well, the tabernacle is an indicative statement about the kingdom that is coming. Every sign is only intensified from what Jesus said there in that Olivet discourse. And he said at the end of it, Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, what was happening? Well, there were 3 days of Noah, before the flood, during the flood, and after the flood. Noah lived for 350 years. Where did he live? In a place called Babel, or Babylon, or modern-day Iraq, which concludes, when you read through the book of Revelation, the last thing Jesus will do is destroy Babylon, the little city of Babylon, then come back. We're living in the days talked about in the message on prophecy that Jesus Christ gave there at the Olivet Discourse.
Gary, let me go to you. You are a pastor. You're the only one of this group that actually are pastoring a church right at this point. Are you sensing that your people, as you're interfacing with them, are sensing that this, the return of the Lord, that the focus, the movement of history and prophetical fulfillment is really at hand? And how are you addressing that with them?
Well, certainly the people in my church and others that I associate with talk a lot about the rapture, the first stage and the second coming of Christ is how I often refer to it. And of course, Sam, you know, I many times will say, keep looking up because the best is yet to come. And that's my personal way to talk about keeping our eyes open for the return of the Lord in the clouds of the air. Yes, I try to keep it before our people on a fairly regular basis. And some of our people say, you know, these are terrible times in one way, but on the other hand, are exciting times simply because of the fact that everything points toward the idea that at any moment we may hear the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and Jesus saying, come up hither. Our people are excited about that.
Dave, you are the evangelist among this group. Actually, Jimmy's out evangelizing too, but you are around. I'm going to ask you right now, as you are feeling led of the Lord to preach where you're going, I know you as a part talk about these days, but what are you finding as you're talking to people? What is the response? And what, more specifically, how are you encouraging people to respond in these days?
Sam, there is an awareness right now, I think, the likes of which I've never seen. It's not everywhere, but there is among God's people in certain places an awareness that we are living in unique times. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure that out. These are the days that obviously would cause us or cry out to us to be aware and look for Jesus' return like never before. What I'm doing, Sam, is this. I'm saying, according to 1 John 3:3, where the scripture says, every man that hath this hope in him, and that hope, of course, according to 1 John 3:2, is the hope of Christ's return. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. So I'm saying to God's people, let's get our act together, number one. And then number two, let's get on board with God's agenda, which is the evangelization of the lost, and try to reach as many people as we possibly can. Let's live a life of winsome witness in these days like we've never lived before, because these are the days just prior, surely, to Jesus' return. So let's engage with the gospel.
And Jimmy, let me go back to you, because you mentioned that when the disciples heard what Christ said, they responded by going out and turning the world upside down. Jimmy, do you think that, as Dave said, obviously evangelism has got to be the key, but do you think of God's, it is, obviously that's what the purpose of Christ coming, but do you think that the church, if we really believed that the return of Christ was at hand, that we would change the way we're living? And then take about 20 seconds for that, if you're 30 seconds, and then I want you to close us in prayer, so go ahead, please.
I tell you what, Sam, the church had better wake up, because God's word is giving us absolute details of how it's all going to close out. And we can't read the word of God and read the newspaper at the same time and not see we're in those times. I agree with what Dave said. We need to be prepared for that rapture, pure in light of its soon coming, and productive until it does come. The only reason Jesus has it not come, 2 Peter 3:9, he said, I'm not slack concerning my promise, but I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come to know me. We need to win people to Christ. Father, encourage each of those Christians living today and listening to this broadcast to do exactly that. Live pure. God's call for purity will only come about. He told Titus, Paul told Titus, live right. and look at stay away, lay aside ungodliness, worldly lust, looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. Let us understand the scriptures that Jesus is coming quickly. Let us get in the action, serving him with a pure life and a productive life. My name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Dave, Gary, and Jimmy DeYoung. Thanks for being with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you've been encouraged by the program today. And as Dave and Gary and Jimmy said, we should be motivated. The remnant should be motivated. And so should the unsaved be motivated to come to Christ. Stand with us, ladies and gentlemen, and every way you can. Stand in a gap for truth where God has placed you and participate with APN in every way you can.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.